Thank you very much. Thank you. Julie, can you help me make a roll call?
Yeah, I'll make a roll call. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening to everyone. Today is Friday, March 26, and this is the Constituency and Stakeholder Group Operations call. On the call, we have Olga Cavalli and Michael Young, Krista Papic, and from staff, we have Julie Hedlund, and I see that Gisela has joined us as well.
My apologies for being late.
Not at all. Gisela, let me ask you just very quickly, do you have...
sorting that out now. I'm sorting RASIC out now.
Oh, lovely. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I didn't get it. RASIC is joining?
Gisela is working on dialing out to him.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, thank you very much for joining. And I don't know if you saw a message I sent a week ago on March 19th. I got an email from the new chair of the OSCE, who's Philip Shepard, and the OSCE has set up a deadline for receiving the documents from the working groups. So this deadline is 1st of June 2010, and I've been exchanging some emails with Philip, especially in relation with our task two. He asked me if I thought that we could be able to deliver something for that due date, and if not, we should tell him in advance. So I sent an email proposing some action items to try to comply with this due date. I think we have spent some time reviewing our task one, different documents. One and four are already done. I think that the third document that that the sub-team was leaded by Krista, it's not a long document and it shouldn't be complicated to agree in the final text. So, Krista, I would ask you if you could send to the list the last version that you have. Maybe me and Julie can help you find in which is the last version that we worked with. And we have to finish our second document. Although we may not agree in all the text, we may add some minority reports, but we have to deliver our work. And about the task two, I contacted Debbie on a private mail. Perhaps she could give us some ideas on how to draft the first version of the document. And then after that, she said also that other members could join a sub-working team. It was an idea that I had that I shared with her before to see if it was possible. And my suggestion was that we could perhaps try to prepare a draft document trying to achieve the due date, which is very challenging, and I'm not sure that we will make it for task two, which is outreach. So I would like to know if you think these are feasible ideas, if you like the idea, if you have other suggestions. I have two emails, one from Rafiq and one from Tony Harris, that they thought it was good.
Okay, it's Krista. Yeah, I will resend that to the list. And yes,
great, thank you.
I agree.
Thank you, Krista.
You're welcome. And, yes, I agree with your outline of how we should proceed.
Michael, any comments?
No, I think it's a good idea. I'm fine with it.
Great. Okay. I don't know if you had the chance to review the comments. Krista was so kind to send a proposed text, as we agreed in our last conference call in, where I was not there, but it happened in Kenya and I was in Buenos Aires. We drafted a part of the text of the sub-working team text two, and there were some comments in the list. I would like to know, perhaps, Michael, you had the chance to review Krista's document. I think there are good suggestions, but your experience from constituencies is very valuable. And also Chuck sent some comments about... how long a member let me open the wiki and review the text. I have the text sent by Krista. Could it be good if I read it again? It's number four, elections. or you have it on the email and you can read it directly from there. What's best?
This is Olga. This is Julie. I have Krista's suggested text in front of me. I'd be happy to read it for people if they would like.
Oh yes, if you can do it, so it's in the record. So if people hear us, they'll record after.
Exactly.
They can know what we're talking about.
That would be good. So I'll try to see if I can get it right. Additions are bracketed in red capital letters, and deletions are stricken through in red. But I'm not. The strikeout's not showing. So let me.
I can read it quite well.
I
can see it clearly.
It's not entirely.
So let me do it. It's four elections, all group, it's in curve brackets, and in curve brackets it's also charts shall clearly delineate how elected positions, including representatives to stakeholder group, executive committees, and the Judicial Council shall be elected. What the term limits are for each position and maximum number of consecutive terms in the same position, period. Any other procedures related to elections or exceptions to elections procedures must also be described in the group charter, period. And then there's a whole part of the text which is strike through, and that's it. I'm not sure that the redaction is clear. Let me read it again. All groups' charters shall clearly delineate how elected positions, including representatives to stakeholder group, executive committees, and Judicial Council, shall be elected, what the term limits are for each position. That what word doesn't sound to me, but I'm not a native speaker, so I may be mistaken. Are you following me?
Which word, Olga?
When it says, and the Judicial Council shall be elected, what the terms limits are for each position. The word what, again, I'm not a native speaker. I'm just, English is my second language.
Well, sometimes it seems like it is to me also. the point there is just, you know, that the charter should also describe what the term limits are. So maybe the word what doesn't belong there. Maybe it's just the term limits. Maybe it can be better worded. But, you know, the point is just the charter should also describe what the term limits are. And, you know, my general point here is that different groups have different capabilities on what kind of term limits executive officers on executive committees can hold. And, you know, to have the GNSO, you know, through this particular set of recommendations saying that people have to commit to a 2-year term, you know, might be more than a particular group is comfortable with, and that, you know, as long as their charter says what the term limits are and how long each term is and how many times people can be reelected to the same position, that should be the point, not the GNSO coming in and saying, you know, people will have 2-year term limits. And, or, here's the maximum number of terms.
Olga?
Yes, who's there?
Rafik.
Rafik, how are you?
Fine.
Welcome.
Thank you. We just discussed there, I think, with Krista and even Chuck intervened, that the problem, I don't agree really with Krista about that. We need time limitation. Okay, maybe I understand for the registrar case there is limit of 3 terms, but I think at least we need term limitation of 4 years. If registrar wants three terms or 2 terms or even 1 term, it's up to them, and it can be up to each constituency and stakeholder group. But I think for time limitation, it's really important. Because it's more than 4, it's too much, and we cannot expect. And I agree with the points that made by Chuck, especially about representation. And also, if a group have a problem to find committed people to volunteer, it's this group or this constituency or stakeholder group have a real problem of to be really representative. Thank you.
Thank you, Rafik. So you proposing the change in the text that Krista has written?
Yeah, at least to have a clear term for the time limitation.
So you'd like to include a specific time limitation?
Yes. I said also, remember to Krista that we have the genital as model. If we follow the genital cancer, which who are from all the constituency and stakeholder group, they can only be counselor for 4 years. So it's the model, and each stakeholder group should follow that model.
Any other comments?
Olga, it's Krista. I mean, I just think if it's in the charter, you just don't know what different groups' capabilities are going to be. I mean, maybe there's a group that's got 4 members and they want to have 6-year limits because, you know, they've only got 4 members or a maximum of 6 years. But, I don't.
I like to get in the queue, too, as well.
Olga, this is Claudia. I just wanted to let you know I joined the call.
Who's there?
It's Claudia.
Claudia, how are you?
Hi.
Welcome. Krista, are you finished?
Yes.
Thank you, Krista. Michael?
So I guess I'm just trying to catch up a little, because prior to the last call, I thought what we had done was put down some guidelines, or recommended guidelines for term limits, but then also said that these could be extended or accepted if the stakeholders group or constituency or working group deemed it appropriate and they voted as a 2/3 majority, kind of was where we had left it. What went wrong with that? Why did people feel the need to revamp that?
Olga, it's Krista. Can I get in the queue?
Sure. Go ahead, Krista. Yeah.
So just, you know, from my stakeholder group's perspective, Michael, it's, so first of all, you know, putting down term limits, I mean, again, my whole point here is that the stakeholder groups or constituencies or whatever, the structure is, should have a charter that says what the terms are and what the limits are. That the GNSO shouldn't come in and say, you have 2-year terms with a maximum of 2 limits, and then if you want to change that, you know, you have to have some sort of voting threshold. It's just, that should be up to the group how they're going to structure that, and again, clearly outlined in their charter. And as a way, by way of example, in the registrar stakeholder group, we have 1-year terms with a maximum 3 years in each. Consecutive years in the same office. We have to go out and get a 2/3 majority now to actually do the term limits we've been having for many, many years, first of all. And second of all, you know, if you put the caveat on here, it has to be this way unless you want to do it differently. What's the point of even having it specified what the term limit should be here? I mean, I don't know. My ultimate point is that it should be in the charter and, you know, not up to the GNSO, what's appropriate for any group's particular term limit.
Olga, can...
Sure, it's Rafik.
Yes. So, to respond to Krista, in the case of Krista, if I understand well, the limit is 3 years. So, but at least we can define in the guideline that no more 4 years at time limit. If the registrar wants 3 years or even 2 years or just 1 year, it's up to them, but at least we have the limit of 4 years. Because it's more than 4 years, it's not really, how to say, I'm not sure if I can say, it's not really healthy way, because 5 or 6 years is too much, and it may create a problem of capture, and you know, when people want to volunteer, if they they think that they don't have the chance to get a leadership position for because the term limit is not really limited. It only may create problems for people to volunteer. So at least to have a limit of 4 years. But if a registrar group want to have only 3, so it should add to them. So no more than 4 years.
Someone else want to comment? I would like to say something, if I may. I think it's an interesting discussion. I personally am in favor of rotation. I've seen many groups captured by people that are there forever, and then after a while, it's quite difficult to remove them just because they get all the networking and it's difficult to move forward. But I also understand Krista's point that sometimes it's difficult to find people. And some people are really valuable, and it's good that they remain. So why don't we add some wording that could leave us having this exception, that having a specific term limit of perhaps 2 terms, but in the case of adding somehow the text that allows an exception that if needed, then a person can remain. You think that's a good idea?
Well, Olga, it sort of sounds like what we had before, but and I didn't have a problem with what we had before because I think it did tend to capture what the gist of the board recommendations were. However, has everyone looked at Chuck's email that he sent? I guess.
Yeah, I saw it. I think it's a good suggestion, but it speaks about having a term limit, which is the issue that we're discussing. This is why I wanted to find a text.
Yeah, my inclination is to kind of combine maybe what Chris is saying with what Chuck's saying with what we had. So
Chuck,
you know, I'm going to suggest
says,
something maybe we all can live with that would be, you know, a statement in general that the groups involved, be it a stakeholders group or a constituency or a working group, must make a definitive policy around term limits and rotation, and they must post that. They must do that. The term maybe require set not a minimum term but a maximum term. Any given term cannot be any longer than 4 years, which I think is a pretty long time. So I think that's pretty reasonable. So maximum term of 4 years. And a maximum number of concurrent terms of 2 gives you someone who could be running a group for literally 8 years. As well as that, I still think we leave the exception clause in there that if there's exceptional circumstances, the entire group really wants to leave someone in there for, you know, 9, 10, 11 years in a leadership position, they can if they have a 2/3 majority. So I think, you know, gives you some indication that people should rotate out, but if it's really advantageous for the group, if the group really feels strong about the current leadership that they have the option to keep it going.
Oh, good, Krista. Can I get in the queue?
Sure. Go ahead, Krista.
So my preference is to not have to stick with term limits are described in the charter. With that said, you know, a maximum of 4 years, 4 consecutive years in the same position, I can get comfortable with. Putting a restriction on 2 term limits, if you have 1 year terms, now you've limited it to 2 years instead of 4 years. So I don't know if what you're I think if we go with the sort of what Chuck has said is a maximum of 4 years, at least as I'm reading it in his email. Maybe I just looked at it a second time, so maybe I missed something in there. But and generally, I think that's what Rafiq was saying, too, is to limit it to 4 years. As far as the exceptions, I mean, I agree with you, Michael. We should leave that in there, and I did leave it in the text. It's in the last part of the sentence, which basically reads, any other procedures related to elections or exceptions to election procedures must also be described in the group charter. I just, you know, again, I don't think the JNSO should be setting what thresholds are you know, to vote for different things in, within a stakeholder group, but that they should clearly be outlined.
I hear you. I'm trying to stay within the focus of what we've been tasked to do, which is deal with the board recommendations, right? Board recommendations clearly state we're supposed to do something around this to set a momentum toward rotation, reasonable rotation. What if we did this, Krista? What if we... I could do some wording up for this, but you could say something like concurrent term limits shall not exceed a total of 8 years of leadership in the same position. So that means it could be 7 1-year, you know, term limits permitted, or 2 4-year, or, you know, 4 2-years. But, you know, it's that solved the problem if you guys go with short term limits.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if Rafik feels about that, because I think he wants to limit it to 4. I think we're saying the same thing, Michael, basically, which is just, you know, there's a maximum number of consecutive years you can serve in the same position, regardless of whether, if the number's 4 or the number's 8, if that's a four-year term, or, you know, 8, you know, if it's 4 years, or 8 6-month terms, or, you know what I mean? Like, let's not restrict it to, I don't know.
Okay, so yeah. Instead of saying, you know, determining the term limits, we just say maximum concurrent number of years in the same position.
Exactly, I agree.
Okay, and is 4 years okay with everybody, or does someone feel that needs to be longer?
Michael, this is Claudio. I think that's fine. You know, I've been following this discussion, and I see the points on all ends because. You know, for the reasons everyone stated, there's value in rotation and getting new people involved. But at the same time, these are volunteer positions, and they're time-consuming. And if somebody's volunteering for something and having to commit a large amount of time, then, you know, I think that's where you come into difficulties with asking people to then serve in these leadership positions and travel and do all these types of things. And so I see the issue, I think, pretty clearly. In terms of language, I could offer some language. I think just based on what you guys said, that's pretty straightforward, which would be something along the lines like, no person shall serve in the same constituency or stakeholder group leadership position for more than 4 years, for more than 4 consecutive years, period. And just sort of leave it at that. And
can we leave the exception in there in case there is a circumstance in which the entire group really wants somebody to maintain the leadership position?
Yeah, I think so. I thought that was a good idea as well. You know, maybe the issue is we don't need to get into the specifics with saying 2/3, but maybe we could just say, leave the language that we had in there and, you know, just not get into the specifics about the threshold, but
So how do we want to describe it, a majority or a supermajority, and not describe what the supermajority is? How about a supermajority is defined by the charter of the working group, stakeholders group, or constituency?
Yeah, I think that might make sense. What's the language that's in there now? I don't have it on.
I think it says just 2/3 majority.
Yeah, this is Julie. I can read the language. It currently says, when circumstances demand exceptions to this requirement, exceptions may only be made with support from 2/3 majority of the membership.
And it's Krista, and my proposal was just that the exceptions must be described in the charter. But, you know, there can be, but they have to be described in the charter.
That makes sense to me.
Okay. Claudio, do you want to try and wrap that up?
Yeah, I'll send this to the list.
That's great. Okay.
Great. Thank you very much, Claudio. So we are okay with 4. Moving forward, we were expecting some wording for point 5 from Zahid in paragraph B and Mary, and paragraph D. We had to review the text. We said, as far as I remember, is Zahid on the call? No. Okay, as far as I remember, I haven't seen any comments from Zahid or Mary Wong in the list. And they were supposed to send some comments about paragraph B, 5B, about voting. Who's there?
Rafiq. I'd say Mary is not a member of our work team, so maybe I will ask her to send as soon as possible the...
Thank you, Rafiq. I know, but she was present our meeting that I attended remotely. In Nairobi, she was present there, and she made very interesting comments. And so this is she stated that she's not a member of the working team, but she was going to send some comments through Zahid. So perhaps you can contact her, or we can review the language here among us. There were some doubts about 5, let me check it. 5B, which is 5B, says it's about voting. All groups shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in elections as deadlined in their charters. And there are some texts which is strike through. Any comments about this text? Anything that we want to add or change?
Sorry, Olga, it's Krista. I'm just trying to get back to the text. I lost the... So bear with me.
I'm reading the wiki.
I'm
on the wiki. Now.
I lost the connection. I'm just trying to get back to the wiki.
Oh, sorry, no problem. Any comments, Michael, Claudio?
Oh, sounds good.
Olga, this is Debbie. I wanted to let you know I've been on for a couple minutes. I didn't want to interrupt the conversation.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome.
It's Olga. I believe, if memory serves me correctly, and it frequently does not, all groups shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in elections.
I think that the issue was about equal voting rights or not. I mean, that was a discussion, and there is some text strike through that says all members, whether natural or legal persons, shall have equal voting rights, and that was gone. And... But I would like to...
Okay with the way it reads right now.
So okay with B, with the deleted text?
No, I'm okay with the... I'm glad that the text was deleted. Okay with the way it reads.
Okay, great. That was my question. Claudio?
I'm sorry. I was working on this other
thing. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to have your opinion about 5B as it's written now in the wiki.
Yeah, that looks good to me.
Okay. Rafiq?
I thought that we already agreed about this, no?
Yeah, but the issue is that we had some weeks in the middle and Mary didn't send the text and we have to move forward. So I would suggest that if we agree in it now, we leave it as it is and we can receive comments from Zahid and Mary afterwards, if they want to add something.
It's okay for me.
Thank you. Debbie?
Looks good.
Great. Krista?
That's okay.
Great. So, did I miss anything? So we have 5B, and then there was we had to revise the text in 5D, which says, work team members to consider and comment. It says, no legal or natural person shall be entitled to join more than one constituency or group as a voting member. Any comments about this?
Olga, it's Krista. If I'm not mistaken, people can vote in various groups today. Is that correct? Does anybody know?
Yeah, I think they are allowed to do that now. Claudia, I'm sorry.
So if one person is allowed to vote in different constituencies or groups, then this is wrong.
Why?
Am I correct?
I mean, I don't know. I wonder, why would it be wrong? I'm trying to understand the thinking behind it.
No, I just I'm sorry. I don't belong to any constituency. This is why I'm asking you. Is it possible for a natural person to be entitled and join more than one constituency? It's that something that may happen, or just it doesn't happen?
No, I think it's something that we agreed wouldn't happen because we don't want to create a double voting right within the GNSO.
Okay. So are we okay with the text, no legal or natural person shall be entitled to join more than one group or constituency as a voting member? I take the silent as a yes? Okay, great. So 5D is done. And then we had some text that was going to be sent by Victoria about Section 8 policy. Let me check it. Section 8 policy. It says it is recommended that standing policy committees comply with similar rules as executive committees, and there were some exchange of ideas in the list, but I haven't seen, if I recall well, any proposed text. Julie, did you see some text sent by Victoria that maybe I missed?
This is Julie. Olga, no, I did not.
Any comments about 8A?
I don't understand what it's Krista. I don't understand what it means.
I will say something which sounds stupid, but I don't know. Yeah, me neither. I don't understand what it means in general, the difference in between executive committees and standing policy committees. I may be ignoring something, and that's very possible. So perhaps someone could enlighten us with some comments. Yes.
Okay, it's Rafik.
Rafik, go ahead.
So the policy, as you remember, the standing policy committee that... it's not the when I discussed with Victoria. It may be not only one policy committee, but it can have many. It's up if the members of the group want to start talking about a new policy, so that they can. There may be many policy committees, but now I'm not sure that it's. Feasible and that's possible. Maybe just one policy committee is it's more normal than just to have many policy committees. And the executive committee is about I don't know how to say it's to managing the stakeholder groups and the constituencies, all the administrative tasks, etc.
Okay. My question is that if, sorry, Krista, just one comment. If we have to go through such level of details about committees in constituencies or stakeholders, was just a comment. Krista, go ahead, please.
So first, a clarification. What is a policy committee within a group?
Olga, could I respond to
sure.
that?
Sure. Claudia, go ahead.
I think what Victoria is getting at here is what we have under number one, under executive committees, those rules. I think she wants to apply those rules to the policy committees. And, Chris, I think what she's referring to is, like, if there's, a working group, like right now, like there's a vertical integration working group. So let's say a stakeholder group had a group of people working on that, that would be their policy committee for that particular issue.
Thank you. And I kind of thought that's what it meant, but I wasn't sure. So then, I mean, I agree with what Olga just said. This is Krista, sorry. Which is, I mean, I don't. Right now, you know, the Registrar Stakeholder Group has, I don't even know how many people on that vertical integration working group, myself included. And it was, you know, whoever wants to get on it, you know, put in a statement of interest. So I think limiting it to sort of stringent rules that the executive committee elections, et cetera, have to follow seems pretty outside sort of the general GNSO process for these types of groups. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about
Krista?
That.
Chris, Rafik, but I don't understand really the last part of what you said, but just maybe for joking, it's there are many registrar members in the vertical integration working group. Yeah. But I want to understand what you said at the end, because it wasn't clear for me.
Sure. And I guess my point there is that one of the discussions in the vertical integration group is, you know, should we close the list of members that are able to join? And it's like, no. Like, you know, the whole principle is whoever wants to participate in a working group can participate. So if we're going to somehow go back and restrict that at a different group level, a stakeholder group or a constituency level, it's going to go counter to what the model is, as I understand it, the overall GNSO participation model, which is anybody who wants to participate can participate.
I think I can reply to this. The idea is if some people within a group want to start discussing about the policies, so they can, I don't know, maybe if in the charter of the group to define that to 10 people, 10 members can, if there is 10 members, they can ask for starting a policy committee and to work about define a topic. So it's they maybe need to define that we 10 members. I don't know. It depends to each group, and so people can start volunteering and define a policy. But I don't think that anyway we can limit participation of people or volunteering in any kind of policy.
Again, this is my question. Do we need to specify this? It's not such a lot of detail. Do we need the sentence?
Olga, this is Claudia. I agree that I don't think we need the sentence. I think that I think policy committees are just, they function differently than executive committees. And so I would just, if there's certain rules we want for policy committees, I think we should just spell them out. I don't think we should reference back to executive committees, because they're just operate in different ways for different reasons. So I would just strike 8A.
Me too. Any other comments?
Oh, that's because I agree with what Claudia just said.
Thank you, Krista.
This is Debbie. I agree.
Comments? Great.
Michael.
Great. Okay. Rafik, are you okay if we delete it?
Maybe to reward in other ways, so we encourage, I'm not sure, but we encourage not talking about, I think that many people are against.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you very well.
Policy discussion within the groups. I don't know how, but maybe it can work around.
Olga, this is Claudia. Rafik, is your concern addressed in B? Is that what you're referring to about participation and just ensuring that it's, you know, people can participate on these issues?
Yeah,
that's 8B. Yes, the idea that if there is a group of people within stakeholder groups or constituency, they have interest in some policy, so they can initiate within their own group and start working on that. So the policy committee is a kind of, not structure, but a way to organize this, maybe like working group, something like that, but to organize this process.
This is Olga. Rafik, don't you think that 8B addresses your concern? It says policy committees shall be open to all members in good standing and shall be able to propose the policy committee consider a policy issue in accordance with the group charter.
Yes.
That's already agreed.
Okay.
So are we okay deleting A?
Yes.
Great. Okay, B is already... Any comments to B?
Olga, this is Claudio. The only thing I would add here is just maybe eligibility to serve on policy committees shall be open to all members in good standing. That was a clarification I remember we did in some of various other parts of the document. And so,
so you want to add some text?
Yeah. It would basically be at the beginning of the sentence, I would add in eligibility to participate on policy committees.
So it would read, eligibility to participate in policy committees shall be open to all members in good standing and shall be able to, be able to propose the policy committee consider a policy issue in accordance with the group charter.
Yeah.
Is that your proposal?
That is.
Any comments?
Sounds good to me. It's Krista.
Julie, did you get the language?
Yes, I did, Olga. Thanks.
Great.
Olga,
any other comments? Who was that?
It's Krista. I have a comment on a different section when we're done with it.
Okay. I know. Let's... are we done with this is B, which is now is A, because A is gone. And we have D. I think we already went through it. Do we have any action items on D? Well, now it's not D. Oh, Mary was going to send some comments also. But it strikes through.
Yeah, this is Olga, this is Julie. I think it's not supposed to be stricken through. I think the original language is policy committee meetings should be open for attendance by all group members and at the election of the constituency to the public. And we had asked Mary to, I think she has some interest in perhaps suggesting alternate language there.
Any comments in this group about this, which is this policy committee meetings should be open for attendance by all group or constituency members and at the election of the constituency to the public? Are we okay with this language? Is there any concern? Okay, let's do the following. Leave it as it is, and perhaps, Rafiq, you can ask Mary if she can add some language and enrich in the text that we already have, which is 8D or C now. Could you do that, Rafiq, for us?
Okay, which part, D?
It's the last part of 8, which was D, and now would be C. I remember in the call in the meeting in Nairobi, Mary was going to rewrite the text and make it better. So perhaps we leave it as it is now, and you ask her to send some suggestion.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay, Julie, help my memory. Did we revise 9 GNSO working group? Because I don't remember.
We ended at 8 policy. But I think I heard that Krista had some remarks on
yes, it. Yes, I remember in the list she also sent some comments. Krista, go ahead.
Sorry, I hate to backtrack, but I just was realizing as we were talking about 8 and this, you know, same rules as executive committees. I scrolled up to executive committees, which is section 1. I think of part 2, but let me just make sure. And realized that the language that we just modified in 4 is now going to conflict with section 1. So in the email that I sent on March 15th with my proposed language that we just sort of reworked, I also, you know, proposed changing 1C, which also talks about term limits for executive committee members. So I really don't want to backtrack. I'm so sorry, but we're basically going to have Section 1 saying one thing about executive committee term limits, and then Section 4, which is an election section, also kind of referring to executive committee term limits, and they'll conflict with one another.
Sorry. I have some text that you sent, Krista. I'm reading it. So you think this text would be better now that we have already changed the part four, other sections? Is that your proposal?
Maybe. I mean, I guess what I'm... I didn't make a proposal, but what my proposal would be is to see what Claudio sends out for 4A, and then I can apply that to 1C. It may make some modifications to it. It may not, so just so that they're consistent with one another is my point.
That's a very good point, and thank you for bringing it. Let me propose you the following. Once Claudio sends the text, could you, Krista, be so kind to revise it 1C and see if you can send the text to the list and so we can agree on it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Ed, in the queue?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm about to send the language to the list now. I was just wondering, if everyone supported that I use the language there regarding approval. I just lost it. Any exception to this policy would require approval by the membership, and it doesn't specify what the threshold would be. And so I guess that's what I.
So you're sending it now, Claudio? Is that what you're proposing?
I am, but we had discussed an exception, and I realized that under the executive committee, the language that we used didn't specify what threshold would be needed for the exception. It just has general language there. And so I was going to propose that we use that language there under 4.
That's the following. Send the language perhaps after the call because we have very few time, and I would like to make a comment about our task too before we finish. And perhaps you can review it with Krista, and then we all agree in the list. I think we have discussed it enough to
Olga,
agree in it.
Olga, this is Chuck. I joined about 5
Chuck,
minutes.
How
Sorry,
are you?
Sorry, I'm so late. So I'm
no,
good.
No, it's okay. Thank you. Thank you for joining. Krista, Claudio, is that a good idea?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. And the rest agree?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. We have 5 minutes, or no, 7 minutes. Julie, we have to review. We didn't review 9 Genesis working group, right?
That's correct, Olga. This is Julie. We have not.
And let me ask you a question. This part 3, minority and other recommendations and other and Mr. DeGange's views and part 4 analysis and 3-5 elections 3-4. These are minority reports to the text that Victoria prepared. I'm talking about the text that is after point 9, 10, 11, and 12 in the wiki. I'm reviewing the wiki.
Olga, this is Claudio. All of my concerns that I've raised in that minority statement have been addressed by our discussions and refining the document. So that could all be stricken as far as I'm concerned.
So are these concerns still valid, Claudio, or?
No, they've in fact been addressed. So.
Okay, so Julie could perhaps strike them through?
Yes.
And the wiki? Julie, did you get that?
Yes. So that would mean that I would strike all of Part 3, just to confirm. And it says Part 3 is minority and other recommendations.
Julie, yeah, it does reference other subtask members there, and so I sort of hesitate.
Okay, so just striking your views?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
And I would encourage the rest of us and the working team to review this minority and recommendations comments because they were sent when the document was not already reviewed. So, and see if they want to keep them here or take them out or change them. So this will be an action item for the whole group. And we agreed to delete Annex A, right, in the last call in Nairobi.
Olga, this is Julie. That's correct. We have.
So it should show, Julie, please, it should show all strikes through in the wiki. Could you do that for me, please?
Annex A does show a strike through. Annex A is at the bottom.
Oh,
I see it.
Sorry.
Part of it. I'm
sorry.
Clear. Absolutely right. I don't know why it didn't strike all the way through.
Great. So let me ask the group the following. Let's review during this next week, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and all the other comments and see if we agree in the text. If I hear no comments, I would take the text for agreed by the group by, in 1 week. We will state that clearly in an email sent to the list today. We will do that with Julie. And also Krista and Claudio will send that text for 8B, I think, or A. And Rafik will consult with Mary if she wants to add something for 8C. And so we could be done with the document by the end of next week. And I would, if that is okay, any comments to that? Thank you. I take the silence as a yes. I would like to propose something also, as we have a deadline from the OSC to deliver our work by July the 1st, which is a very challenging date, and we have task two already to be done. I would like to propose the formation of a sub-working team to work on outreach. I would love to volunteer. I cannot chair that sub-working team because I don't have the time. Anyone in this call would like to lead that effort about outreach?
Olga, this is Debbie. I'm happy to lead that group.
Great. Someone else would like to join Debbie and me in this effort?
I'll volunteer. It's Michael.
Great, Michael.
Olga, it's Rafik. I want also to join.
Great. So we have Michael, Rafik, Olga. Debbie has been so kind to lead this idea. And anyone else? Great.
I'll join that as well.
Oh, great. Thank you, Claudio. Thank you very much. So, Debbie, could you please perhaps send us some ideas how to start, or if you have some draft document that we could start working on, or could you do that for us? Would you
sure.
Thank you so much. And,
would it help the five of, I think there were five of you, the five of you to have a little sub-list to communicate on, or is that necessary?
I think that the rest of the group could be aware, because then they will have to revise the documents, and it's not a big group. I don't know what the others think. Is that a lot of bothering you with emails? I would like the whole group know, because we have a very short deadline, so perhaps if everyone is on, I don't know, maybe it's not a good idea. Julie, what do you think?
This is, yeah, Julie, I would recommend maintaining the same list. It's also, I think, somewhat complicated to set up a separate email distribution list for a relatively, small group for a short time. Of course, it can be done if you prefer.
Now, Olga, what's the deadline you're working towards?
I had some exchange of emails with Philip. It's the 1st of June. It's very short.
June.
I think that we can make it for task one. I think we are done with all the documents. We need some time to finalize the revision. I told Philip that we may not make it for task two, so he's aware of that. So what I promised him is that we would do at least one effort of starting the work and see which could be our possible deadline if we don't meet June 1. So this is the status of the situation with the OSC now.
Okay, thanks.
One more thing. So we have the sub-working team for outreach. Krista, Please remember to send us a document for subtask 1.3 so we review it. I remember that we all went through it, but just we look at it again so we have we are sure that we agree in it. And I think we're done.
Olga, this is Julie. I want to confirm, are we on a biweekly schedule meeting in 2 weeks, or do we want to do a weekly schedule with the workload in mind?
I would recommend that we may with meet weekly. We have Holy Easter next week, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be on business travel next Friday, so I would miss the call.
Yeah, and
it is
Good Friday next Friday, and in many countries.
I know. Okay, no problem. Next Friday is a complicated date, so let's do it the other Friday. And then we if we can make the effort of meeting weekly until June the 1st and see if we can meet this deadline.
Okay,
hearing no comments. Thank you very much for joining, and happy Easter, happy weekend. And we meet in 2 weeks, and we have some work to do in the list.
Great, thank you.
Great. Thanks, Olga, and I'll get the action later today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.